Well, that was just a teaser. Welcome back. This is At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We are looking at the Gloria. Specifically, we're looking at Divine Service Setting 1, and we've been spending a little extra time on the Gloria in Excelsis. We spilled over into the Gloria Patri and talking about the Gloria in general, but we've been listening to certain parts of Johann Sebastian Bach, the things that he did with the Gloria, and we want to have a discussion in this particular segment, segment 3 of episode 18. We want to talk a little bit about how Bach might inspire us with regard to our worship, the divine service, what possibilities, what limitations we have, what things we might be able to do in our divine service right here and right now. And so, Pastor, while I'm gearing up so that we can listen to that third part or that third piece of the Gloria from Bach, give us a little bit of detail about what we're going to hear.
Well, this is goes right along with that movement we heard in the last section. It is also from the Latin Mass and then brought in and rewritten a little bit to be a part of the cantata here, cantata 191. And what we're going to hear now is the part that says, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. And perhaps you who grew up with the TLH hymnal, you might remember that we used to sing that as well in Divine Service Setting 3 after the Psalm of the Day or the Introit. This is that same little segment there, Glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, world without end. And it's just really beautiful the way that he does it, and I could just wish we could sing this every single time that we did an introit in our divine service. It would be a shame, you know, we'd probably get tired of it, which would be shameful, but it's just beautiful, and I can't express that anymore without listening to it.
Okay, so here you go, the third movement from Bach's Christmas Cantata on the Gloria.
Sing, 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 sing
That was the third movement from the Christmas Cantata, the Gloria by Johann Sebastian Bach. I had shivers up my spine, Pastor. I just felt like I was just moving higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And that Latin word, excelsior, that we teach to our Latin students here at Good Shepherd, means ever higher. And I just had kind of that feeling as I was listening to those words and the beautiful instrumentation and the voices. A couple of words on that piece that we just heard before we get into a bigger topic that we want to tackle.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about it before we heard it, but you see there we have a number of musicians, probably 30, 40 musicians, each one basically playing its own unique part, and all of them have to fit together just perfectly to bring that majesty and glory that's brought across through that music together. All the singers have to hit the right note at the right time for all the chords that are moving so quickly through that piece to sound correct. And so it takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of skill to bring something like that across. And they used to do that for the sake of the divine service each week, week in and week out, so that the people might be brought the gospel of Jesus Christ according to that glorious, beautiful music. And it just goes to show how highly they valued being in the divine service, the way their culture really thought this was the highest thing in their society, was being in church and hearing God's word in such a way. And so it's kind of a sad thing that that's disappeared, but it doesn't have to be gone forever. And I think that's kind of where we want to go in our discussion.
Well, I guess my question is, what happened? You know, I know when Dr. Allman was a member here, he was an evangelistic missionary in Germany and in parts of Russia, and he would have big musical classical concerts, and the people were so in tune with the classical music that they would come to hear a good concert, and then he was able to share the good news of Jesus Christ as the people came in to hear the music. In America, I think most people would hear this and they would think, what's this classical, what's this elevator music going on? We've definitely got a cultural thing going on here. And if this was such a big deal in the church 400 years ago, what happened? Why did we let it go? Some comments or observations on that?
Well, I think historically speaking, there's two things. First off, what happened in Europe, and second off, what happened here. In Europe, what happened is that slowly and step by step, what the Word of God was undermined by a belief that all of God's Word is not real and all of God's Word's not true. And as that happened, God's word was no longer the most important and highest thing in society, and as a result, there's no need to hear God's word set to beautiful music like this, because it's not real, it's not true. And as that happened, the church began to die as they less and less people believed God's word, so that now you have these big, beautiful churches where things like this were performed every week that now sit almost empty on Sunday mornings. At the same time as expansion in the United States happened and people came over the ocean here to the United States, we just didn't have the capability to do things like this. The first churches here in Lincoln, Nebraska, probably were little wooden huts, if wooden, and they didn't have organ. They didn't have room for an entire symphony to sit and play the music, and so it would have been very simple music, maybe on a violin or a fiddle that would have accompanied the church service, if anything at all. And as a result of just little prairie towns and places like that not having the capability of doing these things at that time, it got ingrained in us that this is the way church is. It's simple, it's plain, because that's what we had. We have the capability to do those things again now. We uphold God's word as true the same way the people did in the old days, but we have this monkey on our back of saying this isn't the way it's been done at this place for the last 100 years, so why would we start doing it now?
Okay, now you say we can do these things now. I want to probe what your thought process is here. Are you talking about we have CD capabilities and we can just play a Bach recording? We're a substantial sized congregation here at Good Shepherd, and we have a hard time maintaining a dozen people in our choir on a regular basis. We do not have concert musicians that are here. We do not have an orchestra pit. Give me a little bit about your vision so that what we would do would be excellence in worship. And yet at the same time, as my mama taught me, if you can't do something well, don't do it at all.
Yeah, the reality that we don't do it now is across the board in all the churches of the Missouri Synod. There's no church in the Missouri Synod that does these sorts of things week in and week out. What I mean when I say we can do it is that we live in a community and in a time where we have the capability, either through CDs or through even having smaller sets of musicians. We don't have to have a symphony of 40 people. We could have a much smaller symphony and still do pretty close to what we heard. What we don't have and what we don't do is we don't value these things as highly as we ought to. And I guess that's what I mean. We can value our worship enough that we can make it beautiful. Maybe we're not performing a Bach cantata every week, but we can value it enough to spend the time to sing pieces and to have good quality choral music, to have a fantastic accompaniment. We have a very good organist here now. I want to make sure that that's across, that we do have some of these things here. But what we are missing is the thing that's easiest to recover. And I would say that's the desire to make church reflect heaven. And I think that's the thing that will be recovered through the preaching of God's word, through teaching what things are possible, what things have been done in the past, and looking honestly at what things we have the capability of doing. And so maybe not Bach every week, but there's a lot more that we could do if we had the desire for it.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why we have this program, At Home in Your Hymnal, teaching the theology and practice of Lutheran worship, teaching us a proper reverence for the things of God's house, and teaching us to discern those things that are excellent and those things that are not. I'm going to leave you with just a little bit more Bach as we go into our break. And when we come back from our break, we're going to bring this discussion of the Gloria and Bach and appreciation of music to a close. We're going to move on in our divine service. At the end of the hymn of praise, there is what is called the salutation and collect of the day. We'll tackle that issue when we come back. Don't go away.